Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah,
welcome back.
You either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, October 20th, 2023. Talking about the whatever it was that happened. I don't even really know how to describe it. What do we call it? Whatever happened on October 7th, 2023 in a land far, far away from us here in America that now we're all fixated on. And talking about that in the context or in view of or with Pike's letter to Mazzini in view, intimated by William Guy Carr, Cardinal Rodriguez, the author of Cause of World Unrest, back to Leo Taxel's dubious gnomes de plume, shall we say. And as I said at the end of the first hour, my question is, okay, so if we acknowledge that this letter is invented from whole cloth, as is suggested in the article that I've been sent many times over the last couple of weeks, the article titled by Mr. E over at Substack, Mr. E Reports. Who is Mr. E, by the way? The greatest hoax of all time. The greatest hoax of all time. This reminds me a lot of the effort to besmirch Bill Cooper. Why is it so important to smirch Bill Cooper posthumously? When the article came out, I talked about Seth Ferranti's 2018 article, The Strange True Story of the Godfather of Conspiracy Theories. From ODB to Alex Jones and Donald Trump, William Cooper's deranged ideas have been felt insanely far and wide. Why, more than a decade later, is it so important to disparage Bill Cooper? Perhaps because he was right and people have been reading Behold a Pale Horse? Especially, you know, people who find themselves incarcerated and have some time on their hands, they start reading Behold a Pale Horse and they start going, oh, that's interesting. So I went through some thoughts in the first hour of why, to me, it is very curious if Pike's letter is entirely a hoax invented by Taxel, not even as a primary instrument, but as a sort of, an ancillary function of a broader hoax. I will concede that. And I even said that, you know, William Guy Carr seems to somehow he, and again, you know, there's the translation from French that we have to deal with, maybe some other things, but I will concede it's a hoax. I'll even go further and say it's interesting the language seems to be massaged when it gets to William Guy Carr in the 50s. But then, you know, 65, 70 years later, how do we explain that this hoax describes precisely what is happening on the world stage, not just in my backyard or your backyard, but the whole world is being forced to examine what is happening in a land far, far away. Maybe we have to send troops. Now we have to send $100 billion. What is happening? The House is holding the third vote for the Speaker this morning. Who's paying attention to that? It's important, but, you know, then there's this going on. So how is it that a hoax invented from whole cloth describes what's happening? I mean, let's just say 70, 65, 70 years later. Let alone, you know, 125 years or whatever. We've known about it for at least 100 years. We've been talking about it. How is this possible that a hoax explains what is happening? It describes in detail what's happening 100 years later. Very precisely. And the whole world is in view. That is, to me, that's quite amazing. Let me give you the other paragraph. I mentioned there is the paragraph before the one in question. If you read the books mentioned, Taxel's, you know, books in his hoax, The Woman and the Child in Universal Freemasonry and the Devil in the 19th Century. Here's the other paragraph. So I read the first paragraph from The Devil in the 19th Century, I believe, that precedes the World War III paragraph in question. Here is the paragraph following it, short paragraph. The birth of the religion of Lucifer, God, good, establishing itself forever without rival on the terrestrial globe, could not be an instantaneous operation, nor of a year, nor of a chandelier, I don't know if that's an accurate translation, nor of a century. A lasting work is one that is created through slow progression. That's funny. That sounds like the Fabians who were coming onto the scene around the same time. The inevitability of gradualism. A lasting work is one that is created through slow progression. And, you know, this sounds like a theosophical kind of point. The theosophists were at work around this time. Annie Besant was one of the main movers and shakers, theosophical movers and shakers in the Fabian society. Anyway, so a lasting work is one that is created through slow progression. The 19th century saw the conception of true and good Catholicism. The 20th century will be the century of gestation. And I think Catholicism there is misdirection. Anyway, the 20th century will be the century of gestation. Again, getting back to this piece that this dear friend sends me from this the slide presentation on YouTube titled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Year 2025 from the Alice Bailey Books. This slide says, the present cycle from now until the externalization of the hierarchy is called technically the stage of the forerunner. It is preparatory in nature, testing in its methods and intended to be revelatory in its techniques and results. Revelation of the method? That's funny because I think that's exactly what Taxel's hoax does, the alleged hoax. Get to that in a second. 20th century would be the century of gestation, to surely bring parliurition to its term fixed in the book of heaven. September 29, 1996, the Christian era then ended. Anyway, so the 20th century would be the century of gestation. That's interesting because that corresponds to what theosophists like Alice Bailey have channeled from their handlers, the ascended masters, demonic stuff. So my point here, to just put it plainly, I guess, is that Taxol's alleged hoax seems to do precisely this. It is preparatory, intended to be revelatory in its techniques. The slow progression of revelation of the method is here. You can put the plan right out in plain view and then discredit it, the message and messenger later as a hoax. You say that Taxol is the world's worst liar. He's a horrible buffoon, et cetera, et cetera. The plan is out there in full view. Anyone who makes mention of it publicly is clearly an idiot, as the Mr. E Reports article, The Greatest Hoax of All Time, seems to insinuate. But then goes on later, and even in the comments, this Mr. E says that there's something bigger going on here. Indeed, there seems to be. Don't get target fixated on Catholic, Roman Catholic, Freemasonry, you know, the Jews, the letter, Pike, Mazzini. I will concede that as well. Something's going on. In the comments, see if I can find that comment real quick. There is a Ryan who makes an interesting comment on October 16. I would read the whole thing, but maybe later. It's quite involved. And then Mr. E responds, perhaps Taxol, this is a quote from the comment to which Mr. E is responding, perhaps Taxol, whether knowing or not, served a greater purpose. That's a quote from the previous comment. Mr. E comments, yes, he did. There is indeed a child murdering cult out there. Parenthetically, see my series, The Apocalypse of, I don't know what that is, Yanov, whatever that is, bent on world domination. But it's not the Freemasons, not even remotely close. Anthony Sutton, Anthony is misspelled Anthony. Anthony Sutton and Carol Quigley wrote extensively about them. The actual organization is nameless, and they operate through many, many different proxies. So that's interesting, but it does involve, you know, it's a holographic structure, to borrow from Jordan Peterson, and the image that I've mentioned from Kitson's low-intensity operations, from overt to from covert to overt, a holographic structure. Anyway, curious how a hoax seems to pertain directly to world events today, that we're seeing a conflict shaping up. We're hearing World War III all around us, and what does it involve? This thing, so-called Israel, it's not the biblical Israel. It's not Abraham's descendants. It's not, you know, the descendants of Jacob, Israel, primarily per se. It's not. And those folks were not instrumental in creating this thing. It's these, you know, Zionism is also a dubious term. And, you know, even if you could say that, you know, there is a religious component, even, you know, some sort of Orthodox Judaism to be drawn upon in there somewhere, still I would say read Romans, read the New Testament. Understand that, as Romans 11:25 points out, a partial hardening of the heart of Israel. Who is Israel? And, you know, people talk about the land of Israel. That's a problematic statement. Also gets into the Eretz Israel stuff. Again, counterfeiting of language terminology. There is a partial hardening of the heart of Israel, which is not, you know, this counterfeit thing. It's the descendants of Jacob Israel who had his name changed by God until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, which is a blessing. Praise God. The rest of us sing hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then, you know, Paul goes on to explain the mystery. All right, so you want to boast and say, look, we're awesome and you're not. Nope, don't get it twisted. If he can graft the wild branch in, he can graft the natural branch in just as easily, perhaps even more easily. Anyway, it's interesting that the hoax explains world events precisely some 120 or so years later. I find that fascinating. I wonder if anyone can explain that. I think that's even more provocative. And I think what it is, like the protocols, is an authentic document put out in plain view so bad guys can follow it right out in plain sight, use it every once in a while to drip, drip, drip on the public in revelation of the method sort of fashion. But, you know, everyone who's generally schizophrenic anyway, double-minded, you know, has some cognitive dissonance, will look at it but won't look too closely, will listen but not too closely, because to do so would, you know, make me a pariah socially. And it just keeps working. It's amazing. Let's go to the phones, shall we? James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome. Do we have James?
Let's see. Here we are.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I was just wondering, I've never looked at the writings of Benjamin Franklin too much, but it might be worthwhile to cross-reference what Ben Franklin might have written and that of Pike's letter to Mazzini, that kind of thing.
Yeah, probably.
There might be hints there.
Yeah.
Of things to come.
Yep. Another Illuminized intriguer from a very young age. No, he was a Christian. You know, the Hellfire Club was an incidental, accidental, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin was, no one says he was a Christian. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. Well, you see, this is, there is a temptation to go dabbling. A person may be raised you know, be a Christian and so on and so forth, and then they start getting involved in the occult. And the occult, I define that to mean exactly what it means, and that is the hidden, or the hidden knowledge.
Yeah.
And when one, there is a chance that when one begins to read things like that, then they are tempted to make other moves to other disciplines, and that's a temptation, a real temptation. But what I wanted to mention was Weishaupt's letter, and the the writer, they say, that was struck by lightning.
Yeah.
I'll hold till...
The courier,
And the courier, I have something to say about that. I'll wait till... Yeah, you got music, so...
Yeah, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break. Oh, well, yeah, we can skip... Okay, I guess we can skip it. All right, go ahead. We'll skip the break.
All right, well, look at... Weishaupt's rider wasn't struck by lightning. Weishaupt's rider was shot off his horse by secret police. Okay.
Well, it does sound fanciful that, you know, the rider and the horse were struck and killed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No. There is not one Masonic lodge in the whole world that hasn't been penetrated by secret police and even communists. Okay? Because of the intensity of the struggle that goes on. Okay, so this is not really a big secret. So that the secret police at that time wanted to see what that letter was. Okay. And so that rider met his demise in the good old-fashioned way, probably a musket ball. And so that the intensity of this good against evil is all over the world. You mentioned several times that the devil's greatest trick is to convince everybody that he doesn't exist. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's a borrowing from Charles Baudelaire, who was one of the...
Yeah. Yeah. Who was
intriguers.
Yeah, that's right. And those on the front lines, I believe, have to deal with the devil and all of that stuff every day. And fortunately, I don't have to, I think. To some extent, I think you're on the front lines. So I just... I call in because I'm trying to help you out, believe it or not. So
appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, there we go. And thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call.
All right.
James, much appreciated as always.
You're very welcome by now.
We will... there are a couple of things that I want to play. Maybe we can do that later. One of them is the explainer, you know, should Christians bless Israel, follow Israel into hell blindly? You know, it's interesting. Most people don't define terms. Maybe we can do that in a bit. Another one that I thought would be fun for Friday was Washington gun law president William Kirk did a cool video the other day. I think it fits perfectly for RBN stuff. The companies that want to disarm you. And, you know, this touches on the Liberty Safe stuff. You know what? Maybe your safe should be a homing device and a beacon for, you know, anyway. But he draws on an Ammo Land story from 2022. Article titled Current List of Anti-Gun Businesses You Should Avoid Giving Your Money. And it's, you know, the way he puts it, you know, I could go on for quite some time. The list is it's pretty extensive. It's a big list. And these are groups that lobby basically for legislation and things to disarm the general public. And so, you know, getting back to my point, mentioning Quigley's lecture, as I did earlier, the mythology of American democracy and the three things, money, organization, and enthusiasm, I think that William Kirk, as usual, does a magnificent job of saying, hey, you know what? These companies should be free to do whatever they want, and people should be free to do whatever they want in response, but there should be full disclosure. And there isn't, which is basically why he's saying that. And I wonder what would happen if people actually, rather than being, you know, allowing their brain to be sucked out of their head or critical thinking to be removed from their head, if they somehow could get their mind around the prospect that, you know, this is a soft kill, essentially, and maybe if you thought about it in those terms, somebody is actually at a certain point, in a certain sense, literally trying to come and get me and using my own resources, weaponizing my own resources to do so. Maybe we would make different choices. Maybe we would be, I don't know, more politically active. I don't think everyone should be per se, but it's a personal choice, personal decision. What am I compelled to do? What are my convictions? Not something that a Bernaysian contingent led me to think or feel or whatever. But when I, you know, for the Christian contingent, when I pray, what does the Holy Spirit impress upon my heart? Anyway, back to the phones. Eric in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Good morning.
Morning. Okay, so you're referring to the letter attributed to Pike. It kind of sounds like almost like a great reset, you know? But there's a lot of sense to it, considering the larger Judeo-Masonic goals, which you can actually, a lot of it's found in the Talmud or in their Midrash, which is basically they want to convert the Gentiles into Judaism. As strange as that sounds, we're always told they don't do that. They don't proselytize, which kind of isn't true anymore with the Chabad outreach.
Yep.
So, in fact, I've been invited myself to go to one of the synagogues from a coworker.
To your point, I would offer a point of clarification. Christian Zionism is not Christianity, and Talmudic Judaism is not Judaism.
Yeah, from a biblical sense, I agree. In fact,
I don't say that in a hateful way at all. I'm just
me either.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
No, I'm 100% with you. The reason it's called at the end in Revelation, it refers to those who, you know, the synagogue of Satan and those who say they're Jews but aren't. But the thing with that, which I think gets twisted up from a biblical point of view, is that people point to race and genes, genetics, which it's not about that. It's all about the conversion of the heart, you know, and that's even in the Torah where you have to be circumcised in the heart.
Yeah.
Jeremiah reiterates that later when they end up becoming like Gentiles and he refers to them as Gentiles.
Yeah. Yep.
And Isaiah refers to them as Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's talking not fleshly, spiritually. And that's what Paul gets into. He wasn't innovating anything new when he was saying that the true Jew is one spiritual and not all Israel is of Israel. There's a spiritual versus the fleshly.
Yep.
And so that's what plays out in Revelation. And people like the Schofields and the Darbys, they kind of created this dual covenant system to because they want to occupy that space. They don't want the Christians to do that. And Christians doesn't even originally refer to Gentiles. Peter was referring to the scattered flock of the lost sheep of Israel. He was calling them Christians. So there's this false division that confuses at the highest levels to this day. And I'm trying to go to find a good church with that, and even the name church is a problem, which I won't even get into that.
because it
has pagan elements from Circe, which is, you know, and so this is all foisted on us, and it goes back to a Judeo-Masonic system, which I think that letter kind of touches on.
I
agree with what you were saying. Like, they put it out there with some obvious flaws so that they can point to and say, aha, this is fake, you bought into a hoax.
Yeah.
But it's
meanwhile, the plan's right out there in full view. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hang around, Eric?
Yeah, actually.
We're going to take this break. Hang around if you like. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Christians, doesn't your coming king tell you that, didn't he say that my kingdom is not of this world? So why are we all fixated on this dirt here? I've talked about how, you know, I think yesterday I talked about Isaiah 66, and you know, the idea of a nation be brought forth, it's Jerusalem that's in view. And Revelation 21, 9 and 10, who is the bride? Most Christians today, you ask who is the bride, they say the church, and you know, they would probably be horrified to realize that's replacement theology. And it's scripturally inaccurate anyway. So Revelation 21, 9 and 10 clearly says that the bride is the New Jerusalem. So if you kind of put all of this together, we shouldn't really be sucked into this conflict. There was a video on Now You See It TV that I saw that some of it was, well, you know, most of it was pretty good, but I appreciate the idea of not getting all emotionally caught up in what's going on. It's titled Israel War from a Biblical Perspective, Everything You Need to Know. I don't know about that, but it's quite a bit of interesting stuff. This is great. I appreciate your call, Eric. And maybe, you know, Friday is great. Maybe you and Jay and a few other folks should do the broadcast, and I'll just sit and listen, because I think you made some great points in the last segment.
Who's Jay?
He is a gentleman who called.
The guy before me.
When was it? A couple days ago, I want to say.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah, I mean, there's so many directions to go with this, and it all connects with what's happening today. You know, we could get into, like, Theodore Herzl. Look at his strategy of, in his diaries, saying that they would create, they would be allies with the anti-Semites. And the greatest... Because, you know, that pushes the diaspora into their arms and radicalizes them.
Yep. And communists and anti-communists, two sides of the same coin. And like Ezra Pound said, it's the technique of infamy, inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly over which one is true.
Yeah.
Both
and
lies.
Getting to play the victim. In fact, they did that biblically, where they replaced, you know, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, and they say that that's them.
Yeah,
ones who reject the Messiah, you know, and I could get into details on that in the Hebrew, and showing you it's impossible that it could be them, because it says his soul is an asham, which is the most holy sacrifice or offering in Leviticus 7, verse 1. It's like, that's not them, because, I mean, they are sinful, because that's being addressed all throughout Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
They're sinners, and so
yeah,
that
from beginning
them out
to end.
Easily. But that's getting bogged down in the weeds. I wanted to kind of discuss, referring to Pike's letter. We know, I've studied, you know, the first few Master Mason degrees that came out in the William Morgan, book that came out. I think it came out after he died. But he was the one that kind of exposed the Master Mason degrees, and he got killed for it. And, of course, that founded the first... political movement, a third party political movement, the anti-Masonic party in America. And in that, you can see in the Master Mason degree, it's relating to the agenda of Elijah returning and performing some signs, such as a resurrection, which he does with the hand grip. I think it's the lion's grip or something like that. And
lion's
so,
paw, yeah.
Yeah. And so the initiate is basically playing the part of Hiram, the builder, that's all in his temple.
Yeah.
And it's funny how they like to throw little signs in your face showing you they're in control, which Haram al-Sharif, the Haram goes back to Hiram. So the supposed Muslims in control there, they've named it after the Solomon's temple builder, the architect, you know? So it's little things like that they throw in your face just to... you know, as a laugh, I guess, when you're on the inside. But that shows you, I mean, you can get into even the whole Islam foundations of that. It's very Talmudic, very legal, and, you know, they have their own Masonic degrees as well.
Speaking of the builders, not to free associate randomly, maybe not too much. I think of, Genesis chapter 11, they're building a tower, and then, mm-hmm. Israel is supposed to wait for their coming king. They don't. They actually reject him. And then in Psalm 118, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner, which is repeated throughout Acts 4:11. You know, Jesus talks about it, Luke 20, Mark 12.
Yeah.
The stone the builders rejected.
Yeah, the builders, exactly.
They're too amazing. They don't need that cornerstone. They're far too amazing for that.
Right. And that's, they put it on the dollar bill, that capstone. Yeah. And
he shall be as gods.
Right. Well, that's actually the hand sign that the high priest, or all the priests, the Aaronic benediction, when they perform in the blessing, they put their hands together like that, and that's what the Spock got his hand sign with the Vulcan mind meld.
Yeah.
That's the oneness that goes back to the Shema prayer. So they're going to draw in even the secularists. You know, that's the whole Star Trek thing is full of Judeo-Masonic references again. And that whole culture with the technology and stuff, that's all coming into this as well. And it's going to meet in the middle with the religionists, the legalists at the temple.
People don't realize that we are watching the reemergence of the ancient Babylonian mystery religion in real time, and who better to lead it than those who, you know, have had their heart partially hardened. In Old Testament sort of context, you know, the chosen people, the keepers of the oracles of God, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you see that in the dressing down in Hosea 4, for example, where God says that he has a case against the inhabitants of the land, but then he says that those guys who were discharged with the responsibility of making sure that God's law was disseminated among all the people, the keepers of the oracles of God, he says, you know, you guys failed in that directive. And so you can see it in those things. So what better strategy for the devil than to grab those guys who are, you know, the apple of God's eye in a sense, and to take advantage of this moment where the partial hardening of the heart of Israel, because, you know, God's allowing the fullness of the Gentiles to come in, taking advantage of that moment and using it to weaponizing it basically, so that you can flood the world with this evil and this wickedness and the reemergence in plain sight of the ancient Babylonian mystery religion. And so no wonder Pike says that all roads lead back to Kabbalah.
Yeah. It's a counterfeit system, but they're going to use, and it's like a million spokes on a wheel, and they all meet in the middle, and the middle is going to be that temple.
Yep.
And you can see it in Hollywood books, video games, I mean, literally everything.
Yeah.
And at the center, they were chosen to be a priest of the nations, a light to the nations. That's what the apostles were. They brought the light of Christ. Now, they reject that of the flesh, saying that that's supposed to be them, the Pharisees and the rest. And so they've had their own system parallel to that all along, and now it's coming to a head. And it was already started in their day. They say the spirit of Antichrist. And it's not a coincidence that that harlot that's intoxicating the world with her wine, that's like her doctrine and teachings instead of the wine of the true priest, that she's dressed in the colors of the high priest, the Levitical high priest. And the names, she's, her name on her forehead is, you know, the harlot of mother of harlots, abomination of the earth, all that. But the high priest wore the name of Yahweh on his head, on the crown. So you can see that it's giving you a spiritual view of this imitation, what it really is, because it's going to present itself to the world as very biblical, of the renewal of the Sinai covenant, and that's what the mark, the name of the Lord, was on the head and in the hand. So it's using that language from the Torah so that you know it's locking in who it is. And then it says that Revelation 11:8, the great city where the Lord was crucified. Okay, that's only one place, and it says it's spiritual Egypt and Sodom. And then later, it's the woman, the great city called Babylon as well. Because that's what's going to happen when they build that temple. It's going to be a new world center of worship, just like the Tower of Babel was. And we know how that turned out.
So, it's so crazy to see. And like you were saying, you know, about this indoctrination, the proselytizing that you mentioned earlier, you can see it. And what was the other thing I was thinking along? It reminds me of the Galatians 2 Judaizers, basically, who were brought in secretly to spy out our liberty and bring us back into bondage. And, you know, it is, I mean, it's very seductive and alluring. You know, there's a comfort in the tradition and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, man, you gotta have eyes to see and ears to hear. You gotta pay attention.
Right. Yeah, it's spiritual. This really is a spiritual war. It's not flesh. But people get caught up on the flesh all the time. And and the technology that's coming to a head as well with the whole that aspect of it. You can even see it in the original Star Trek movie where at the end the man merges with the woman, the technology. And that's what the plan is as well with the transhumanists, which is, you know, Noah Harari, he's kind of shepherding that whole flock into it. And like I said, it's going to meet in the middle when the Antichrist has his image that's given life and speech by this false prophet who's acting like Elijah, who they're expecting. And so you can see all the elements there in the scriptures as well that they're going to do in the temple. And it's pretty amazing. You can kind of see it all coming together. In fact, even the Temple Institute, their channel, they have a bot on there all the time spewing like all kinds of like anti-Christ, anti-Christian hate. And they're already using AI to do that. And it's like, it's not a stretch to see one day it's going to be embodied in that, whatever it is, image. And
Max Headroom. Just kidding.
Yeah. Did you ever see that old movie, black and white, Metropolis? There's a lot of stuff in there that makes me think that was, they were in on the agenda. I think it's like a Kabbalist, and the Zohar has a lot of information. I think it's kind of like the updated plan, at least back then in 1200s or so. So, man, it's everywhere.
Yep. All around us. We're marinating in it. And the folks who think they're irreligious or atheistic or agnostic or whatever are going to, like you're saying, they're going to be sucked right down that Babylonian mystery religion vortex. They're being primed for it, which is part of why I was reading from one of the alleged hoaxes, Taxil hoaxes, the devil in the 19th century. And right before the Third World War, there's the priming of the people. You know, we're going to have them detached from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but have their deistic spirits floating and, you know, create a vacuum that eventually we intend to fill.
Right. And that's what the whole evolution with Darwin's plays into as well. That's, that goes back in, you know, in Scotland where they basically infiltrated and took over the Royal Society and pushed that agenda through and made it mandatory teaching when the UN came into it as well. But it goes back to Charles Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus, who was a lodge member, and he wrote Zoonomy. And it's a more poetic, but it kind of lays the groundwork for it. It's also based on older Greek writers and classics and stuff where they had ideas and further back even into Hinduism. But that's what they were pushing, and they were just using a lot of the scientific language that was actually pioneered by the Christian creationists. Were doing all of the hard work and putting together all of it. They were making all the breakthroughs, and so they just kind of hijacked that. In Mendelian genetics, they poo-pooed that at first and said it wasn't real because it undermined their narrative. But then later they had to grab it, the neo-Darwinists, when they changed it with the Huxleys, they grabbed onto that and just kind of just gaslit everybody and saying, of course this is true, and it proves the evolution.
Yeah.
You know, they just, it's just a hoax.
It's interesting how that's happened, particularly in the era of the Gutenberg press, which, you know, the Bacons have acknowledged. I mean, it's, you know, they can do that quickly in sort of real time, all the more so with the internet. But, you know, I mean, that's Wikipedia. That's the old fashioned Wikipedia.
That's the global brain they talk about. Yeah, the internet became the global brain to merge us, which you can get into that. And I don't know if you've heard Dr. James Giordano.
I don't think so.
He has an old, he does a lot of lectures, and he's like high up with like DARPA and stuff. And he's on video from years ago admitting that they had the nanotechnology that they're already using, where they can read our thoughts. And so they're way ahead of what they're telling us with Elon Musk and ChatGPT. That's old stuff. That's like decades old. They're just trickling it out now, because now they're ready to roll this out, and we're all sucked in on this. It's like the Internet of Thoughts. That's one of the, how they term it. And it's converging technologies that goes back. This is what woke me up in 2002, 2003, where they talked about this converging technologies, that they were going to do all this. And it led me down a huge rabbit trail to where I'm at now. It changed my whole career path, really. And, they're already using all this. That's why they, in the movies, they kind of trickle it out with movies like Matrix, and again, with the old Star Trek movies and show. And it's going to come to a head again with that temple, which they consider to be like the origin of creation. And so naturally, they're going to have everyone going back to that as the nexus of all things, where that's the singularity, where everyone and everything will meet. And so they want to be in control of that, naturally.
So Christians should ask, why are we being encouraged to be excited about supporting, let's just say the irreligious Zionist community. I would say Satanists, really. Satanists want to build the third temple, and, you know, guys like Pastor Greg Locke are saying we need to, you know, turn the Dome of the Rock into a glass parking lot so that we can build the third temple. And Christians are getting all excited, and they got, you know, all of their, you know, symbolism, the, you know, all kinds of stuff, doing these deals and all of this New Apostolic Reformation stuff, and all the charismatics and everybody are all just swept up and excited about it. It's insane. You don't realize what you're, and so, you know, there is the strong delusion. There is, you know, Jesus saying, see to it that you be not deceived. And, in, you know, Matthew 24, for example, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead. And so when we talk about signs and wonders, like 2 Thessalonians 2, for example, you know, I think Christians have a tendency to be short-sighted and naive. They think, well, you know, the world's going to see all these. No, no. The context of what Jesus is saying is, false Christs, false saviors, false messiahs, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. To whom? Not to the heathen, but to you. And he's saying to the disciples, see to it that you be not deceived. And he says, you know, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So I think we, you know, it's easy to kind of, you know, block that out of our minds. But I think we're watching it in real time.
Yeah, and, you know, Revelation 13 says that it's by those signs and wonders that the world is deceived. And it also mentions pharmakia that is being used to deceive the world.
Yep.
And it kind of goes back, I don't know if you mentioned it, it kind of goes back to the standoff between Moses and Aaron with the two magicians in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I did mention that a while back. Yeah.
Yeah. The two witnesses are going to be performing the signs and wonders of Aaron and Moses and Elijah. And then those two beasts are going to be imitating it to some extent. And they're going to be, and with the media today, they're going to mix them up. They're going to say the two witnesses are the two beasts, and then the two beasts are the two righteous ones. You know, and so it's everything's going to be flipped. It goes back to everything being imitated.
Yeah,
and sadly, it's going to no one's if we don't know all of this in the scriptures, we're going to be caught up in the delusion.
Yeah,
and no one's prepared. So it's pretty bad.
Don't believe the gaslighting.
No, do your own research while you can.
Yep. Read, pray, invite the Holy Spirit into that time, and ask God to give you discernment, eyes to see, ears to hear.
Amen. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call. I don't want to. I could go on and on, but I'll stop. I have some of those quotes from the Midrash where they're admitting that they're gonna try to make everyone basically be converts.
Yeah.
And but I think they're part of they're gonna be fooled too, a lot of people, because it says midway into that covenant that he's gonna stop it, the sacrifice and everything, and then he's gonna claim to be God.
Absolutely. And this is why, I think of Carl Zimmer's article, Mind Suckers, and the end that I've mentioned from time to time, where he says, the wasp may not be the puppet master it once seemed. These guys are puppets themselves doing their they have been fallen victim to exactly what they're trying to perpetrate on others. Yeah. Because as I've said many times, basically coming out of the destruction of the temple, now that there's no shedding of blood for the remission of sin, what do? And that's when the oral tradition starts to take off. That's when we get the Talmud, the Zohar, et cetera, et cetera. All right. That's just a drift. And I think that coincides with the partial hardening of the heart of Israel. And, like Dennis Prager said, I think of that clip where he says, that Jews are to isms what Italians are to opera. And they have this compelling urge to make the world a better place. How do you do that? Well, with a hard heart, deception's probably going to be involved. And so, that's the irony. I think the ultimate irony is the people, many of whom think they're doing a good thing. That's the socialist creed, basically. We're going to make the world a better place. But who? That's why I keep getting back to this question, who's in charge, who decides? And whenever man is in charge and decides, bad things happen.
Period. Yeah. Right.
So, anyway, much appreciated, Eric.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you for your call.
And thanks for taking it.
Absolutely. Lynn, I'm sorry we missed you. I hope it was informative and edifying. I think that last bit is probably a lot for folks to listen to. I hope you have a great weekend, and as I said, please pray for one another, pray for discernment, and that God would give us each wisdom and discernment. Please support the network. And if you do, thank you. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Mm. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.